thank you for Ryan. We just thank you so much for this man. And we pray your grace and your would be on the word that he is and that he delivers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So, April, your neck got healed. So you came in with neck pain. You have no neck pain. Amen. Did anyone else get healed while we were praying for you? If you just even if you didn't make it 100%, who got a percentage of healing? Just raise your hand high so we can just celebrate that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for just healing and being in our midst. Amen. I couldn't not do that. It's just so good. All right. How's everyone doing? Doing well? Have your coffee? You're here. Congratulations. You did it again. Thank you, Jesus. You made it. There's just a little warfare sometimes. Just even showing up to church, but congratulations, guys. Did it again. Hallelujah. So I'm really excited to be with you guys again, and I get to share again. Mike's gone somewhere. You probably realize that part. I think he's hanging out with family this week, and he'll be back for Easter Sunday. So, and by the way, the sign-ups, the date's wrong. I think it has like March 16th. We're not doing Easter setup in the past. We're actually doing it on the same Sunday. So make a note of that. Sometimes we miss dates. So I want to talk about not missing dates. I want to talk about this morning, talking about recognizing God in times and seasons. And so this is something that's been on my heart. Actually, last couple times I've taught, we've been talking about fulfilled dreams and different keys about stepping into fulfilled dreams. I just want to ask, how many people have been just seeing some dramatic shifts in your life and things that God's been doing? Just raise your hand up high, too. Hold on. Look at this. Look around you. This is amazing. Thank you, God, for this, Lord. And so I just feel like we're in a season where there's some just dramatic shift. And again, it's connected to fulfilling dreams. And, I've never, it's funny, you got to be careful what you say. I'm never going to be like that. Have you guys said those things? Like you like the person that's like on the ground weeping and crying, or, the hand shaking or whatever it is. Like, you got to be careful about saying those things because God's got this way of like humbling us by making those things. He's not mean. He just, he's got this way. And so one of the things I used to say, oh man, like people would talk about this is the year of the rooster. No, that's a Chinese calendar thing. No, this is the year of, like whatever it is. And that stuff used to, the year breakthrough. Yeah. And they used to just drive me crazy. I'm like, where are they getting this stuff? I'm like, is there like a prophetic almanac somewhere that I like totally missed out on? But then something happened in the year 2013. At the end of 2013, God spoke to me and said, 2014 for your family is going to be a year of abundance. And I was like, it was the first time I actually felt like God said, hey, here's this marker. And I was like, oh no, I got a word from the Lord about a year of something. And I'm like, I became one of those people, it's like I signed up for that whole thing. And man, the first week of 2014, I've shared this before, but in the first week of 2014, our salary doubled within 1 week. If you guys want to receive that word, you can have, just if you want more money, stand up. This is a good way to start. Lord, I just thank you that you have a plan to prosper your people. I just pray for the people that are sitting down. If you have too much money, all these people here want to receive right now. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you have a plan to bless us and bring us in abundance. Lord, and I pray that my testimony, God, be duplicated here. We pray for more money, God, more finances, God, that we can promote the things of the kingdom of heaven, God, in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you'd make us abundant people, God, so we can promote kingdom purposes on the earth in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, when you guys get promotions and you get more money, and maybe you have to work harder, that might happen. I should have prayed the other mic prayer, which is work less, get more. We pray that one too, Lord. Work less, get more. That works for everyone except for the pastors, I think. So I'm like, can I pray that prayer too? Can the pastoral staff pray that, Kent? Work less, get more? Okay, it's valid. I totally forgot. Okay, so let's talk about season. So I became like the season guy. And so at last year, 2016, I felt like the Lord put this word in my spirit that 2017 was a year of fulfilled dreams. And amen. 2017 is a year of fulfilled dreams. And so, and it was kind of wild because I started listening to, you know, these different podcasts. And I do listen to some other teachers outside of our church once in a while. And they actually had the same word that 2017 is a year of fulfilled dreams. It's a year of acceleration. It's a time when God is accelerating the work that he's doing right now in our lives. And, you know, and God does that. He works in seasons. And so I believe that God has a desire for us to be tuned in to what he's doing in this present season, right? Like, he wants us to be connected with what he's doing. And so I'm going to just share historically a couple places where, you know, God talked about times and seasons. And so times, you know, times I'm speaking more of moments, and seasons I'm talking about extended periods of time. And so Jesus talks about seasons. One of the famous ones, obviously, is talking about his return. Matthew 24, verses 32 through 33. I'm going to share a little Bible to, is that okay? We're going to go through some Bible verses talking about this, kind of setting up a foundation, and then it's going to get good. But the Bible's good, right? The Bible's good. Amen. Come on, the Bible's good. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Logos and the Rhema. So Matthew 24, verse 32, it says, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender, put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near," speaking of Jesus right at the door. So God is actually, he's making a reference to a seasonal thing of watching the fig tree and saying, hey, when you begin to see it flourish, it's a picture of something. In the same way that when we see certain things happening around us, that we can actually recognize that Jesus is coming back. Now, this is not an eschatology message. That might be for another time, but I just want to lay down that God talks about seasons in the Bible. And actually, looking now, I want to look at Luke 19, verses 28 through 44. Now, I wasn't actually putting together that this is Palm Sunday, right? And so Palm Sunday, we're celebrating Jesus. Yeah, get a hallelujah for Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, we're celebrating Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And so, but the verse actually was on my heart, was actually in this record. So I just want to read through this whole section of Scripture. I think it's fitting for Palm Sunday to read it, starting in Luke chapter 19, verse 28. It says, "After he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he approached Bethphage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, 'Go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say, the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as Jesus had told them. As they untied the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?'" Now that's a great question. You know, if this is like the first like carjacking that's recorded in the Bible, you know, like, because this was a ride, you know? So it's like someone walking up and, you know, grabbing your Mercedes and saying, "The Lord hath need of this." And you're like, "Oh yes, go on your way." I actually think this is where George Lucas got the Jedi mind trick from. It actually came from the Bible, you know, like, these are not the droids you're looking for, you know? So, I don't know, is this built? Can we do this sometime? I mean, can we, I don't know when we'd use this. Some of you need cars. "The Lord hath the need of this car, brother." Oh man, I'm so off course already. Jesus, take the wheel. Last night I was trying to be serious. I think I made it halfway through my message. I'm totally gone this morning. So that's out the window. Okay, verse 35, it says, "They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen." Amen. We were doing that this morning, right? You know, I love that I was studying worship this last week and just diving into this whole intense and amazing subject of worship. And actually, in the Psalms, it talks about being loud is an expression of worship. Did you know that? Yeah, make a joyful noise and make a loud noise. Like, that's the Bible. I think my children are very biblical then. So, some more biblical than others. Verse 38 says, shouting, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, glory in the highest. So here they all are worshiping, celebrating Jesus. And then verse 39, some of the Pharisees and the crowd said to them, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Man, that happens. If you become a happy worshiper, you can make other people mad. You guys ever done that? Okay, verse 40. But Jesus, I'm not going to expand on that. But Jesus answered, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. First rock and roll concert. When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known this day, this is really what I want to hit. When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known in this day even the things which make for peace, but now they've been hidden from your eyes, the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up barricades against you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. So this was a big time that you would want to recognize what God's doing, right? Like, this is a big time that God, that, you know, that the Pharisees were there. And, you know, many Pharisees actually ended up receiving Jesus, you know. So this is not just to criticize the Pharisees, but they got locked in this thing that they, you know, over and over again, you see that the Pharisees were competing with Jesus instead of praising him. And that competitive, I think just to kind of as a side note, when we get in that competitive thing, we stop seeing Jesus. And what I realize is that sometimes when we're competing with the person around us, we're actually competing with Jesus. Are you guys hearing me? Like the work that God's doing in them, instead of worshiping God, and like sometimes it happens in miracles. Like you ever get mad at someone's miracle? Like, oh my goodness, God did this for that person. I mean, I'm really good at this because I've learned this, the secret that if I rejoice in their miracle, I'm setting myself up to get my own miracle. Right? So rejoicing in the miracles is much better than being mad at the miracles. Hi, John. John is a sound tech and is part of his life, and he does everything. Thank you, John. So Jesus was in their midst, and they couldn't recognize who it was. They couldn't see him for who he was, but I believe that often, you know, Jesus was in their midst physically, but Jesus is in our midst now, right? He's in our midst now. Jesus said, it's better that I leave, that the Holy Spirit would come, because he was going to be in our midst in a whole new way. It was actually, he said it was an upgraded way, because the presence of God would be living in each one of us, that we get to hang out with Jesus all the time. Like, the disciples actually fought to hang out with Jesus. We get to hang out with Jesus anytime we want. That's cool, right? So I think it's important that God wants us to recognize when Jesus is present. He wants us to recognize when Jesus is present. Actually, okay, we'll look at 1 Chronicles 12:23. We have the sons of Issachar. Have anyone heard of the sons of Issachar, those guys? These guys are cool. 1 Chronicles 12, and I actually want to read verse 23, and then I want to go to verse 32, because I was reading at the context of this, and is in 23 when it begins. It says, now these are the numbers of the divisions equipped for war who came to David at Hebron, to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. So these are all the people that were surrounding David. And as you start reading through the list, they're all like, they're fighting. They're men of war. They're like people that are fighting battles, and they got swords, and they're like all this stuff. And then you get down to verse 32, and it says, of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do, their chiefs were 200, and all their kingsmen were at their command. So as it's talking about being in this place of warfare, and you know, all these men that are girded up with swords, it gets to this thing of saying, here's some men with wisdom and understanding and what God needs to do in this time. Having discernment about what God's doing in a time and season is an act of warfare. Right? Like, so when we're tuned in, like, this is actually, man, it's not by our power, it's not by our might, it's by the Spirit of God. And part of it is we just need to hear God's voice and what he's saying to us in every moment. Because when we hear his voice and we respond, God breaks out. Right? I mean, how many of us have been stuck in something like forever and then we just get one word and everything changes? Come on, just testify. You know, I over and over again, whether it's preaching the word of God or it's my devotional life, I'm just looking for one word from him. If he just says one thing to me and I combine my heart with faith, I know everything's going to change. Amen? Like, it's a beautiful thing. God did not make this difficult. We get in a place where we hear his voice, we hear we speak, and we respond to him, and he changes our lives. That's why I read my Bible. That's why I pray. That's why I love to worship. That's why I like hanging out with you guys. Did anyone hear God this morning yet already? Okay. I'm getting excited. I should probably drink some water. Last night, I had some words come out that weren't the right words. They were, I think I said, holy ship. I was thankful I didn't come out something else, but holy ship was not what I was trying to say. I don't remember what I was trying to say, but it wasn't holy ship. If the preacher starts saying holy ship, we're in trouble. Okay. So sometimes, so I want to talk about sometimes our seasons are more important than others. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, this is a great verse, talks about there's a time for everything. It was made into a song. There's an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw stones. I don't know what time that is, but in a time to gather stones. Actually, my son loves throwing stones. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to give up a lot as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. Amen, Jesus, for that one. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. So there's a time for everything. Right? There's a season and time, like, you know, like that. There's a time to talk and there's a time to be quiet, right? And some of us, depending, like I tend to be an extrovert and loud, and so I have to work on the quiet part, you know? And some of us have to work actually in the loud part, you know? So no matter where we're at, but there's a time for everything. God's got a time for us to be doing everything. And so, you know, one of the times, actually, I want to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. You know, I just recalled, I remember those days when, like, I'd hear all this Bible flipping, you know, but we don't have Bibles anymore. They're like apps. You know, I was sharing before, I think we need someone needs to build an app that has Bible flipping noises. You know, so when you're flipping your phones, like, so we can know, like, actually reading the Bible, this isn't a Facebook feed. Some of you just got convicted. Okay. We're going to talk about that later, actually. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. So it says, then it happened in the spring at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed in Jerusalem. Now, I think it's interesting that it starts off in this verse 1 when it says, the time where kings went out to battle, and the next verse it says, David stayed home. Right? So the time where kings went to battles, David stayed home, and it says, verse 2, now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So we know that this is actually when David ends up in his sin with Bathsheba, and I think that the scripture is pointing to, I can't say it emphatically, but I think it's pointing to that David was supposed to be engaged with something God was calling him to do, but instead of being engaged with what he was supposed to be doing, he was just hanging out. You know, one of the best ways we can avoid getting caught up in sin is actually being engaged with what God has actually called us to do, right? Like, it's exciting to be doing what God's calling us to do. When we're engaged in the calling of God, when we're saying, God, this is what you've called me to do in this time and this season, we're walking with God, it is an amazing protection from sin because God is so much fun to walk with. Like, everything else stinks, right? Sin stinks compared to how cool God is. You know, like a big... This is not all the part of how God has sanctified my life, but I've found God is way more exciting than sin. Dude, the Bible talks about that sin is pleasurable for a season, and you know, I'd always hear these teachings on like sin is so wonderful and I know it can be great and stuff, but don't do it because it's gonna hurt you. And I'm like, but they never preach the message that God is so exciting and so amazing that do that and you don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. Right? We always preach half the message. Right? I hear teachings all the time. I'm like, where's the other half of the message? You know, this is true. Like, we can get in that place where, you know, there's stuff that's sin, and it's like, it feels good, and we have to feel the sting of it. That's the word of God that's true, but the other half of it is God is so good, when we get caught in his goodness, everything else doesn't look as good. Like, this is one of the reasons why we just, you know, spending every day with God, hanging out in his presence, being in this place and worshiping, like, we leave it, like, I never leave the church going saying, I can't wait to go out and sin now, right? I haven't done that. Amen. Okay, so we're talking about not all time is measured equally. So I want to look at Elisha. And this is really where this whole message got birthed out. I was spending some time in prayer, and God started speaking to, I just started getting all of these different pictures and verses and things concerning windows. You know, and again, this is so weird because I'm like, I'm not like this person that gets, you know, visions and dreams all the time. And I get some. I'm like, but it's just not how God's, you know, how he's made me. And I think it's probably because I've been hanging out prophetic people and they leak, you know? So I started, like, getting all these, like, pictures and, you know, different things going on. But it was around, actually, these things of windows. And so there was I started looking up every verse in the Bible because it's good when you have a dream to, like, try to figure out what God's saying, you know, or vision. So I started looking through the Bible. That's a good place to start. 2 Samuel chapter 11, sorry, I'm at 2 Kings 13, starting verse 14. It says, when Elisha became sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash the king of Israel came down to him and wept over him, saying, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. Elisha said to him, take a bone. Okay, before I go into verse 15, so it starts up this passage actually with talking about a time when Elisha was about to die. And I think that part of what it's setting the stage with is that, you know, when we have like near-death experiences, we start measuring things differently, right? I don't know if you guys have had that, but there's a different way in how we measure the time that we're walking out in life. We start looking at everything differently, you know? And so I think it's setting this up about this issue of like, he's at the end of his life, and I think he's looking at time differently because he's at the end. You know, and actually one of my prayers is I'm like, God, I want to have an awareness of time now in the present like it's at the end, right? You know, we get in this place that at the end and we're like, oh man, like I wish I could have loved more. I wish I could have given more. I wish I could have blessed people more. I wish I could have done all these things more. I want the later now. Come on. Okay. So verse 14, you don't have to be excited, but if you do get excited, that's okay too. If you want to say amen and hallelujah, I like that. Okay. So verse 14, when Elisha became sick, okay, what did 14? We're at verse 15. Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took a bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. And he put his hand on it. Then Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. He said, open the window toward the east. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram. And you will defeat the Arameans at Ephek until you have destroyed them. Then he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. And he struck it three times and stopped. So the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Aram until you would have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only three times. So there was a window of opportunity. And it was coming out of a prophetic word that he said, hey, if you do, like, you know, part of it is, I believe when God speaks to us about something he's doing, the passion in which we respond is key to how much he's going to do, right? So not only that, and actually, Chanel was saying this, God is doing things in our midst right now in our church, just generally as a biblical principle, but I believe now in the season more than any other time that the things that we are doing now in this current time are going to affect generations to come. And I this is the thing that's heavy in my heart. I feel like God is saying, guys, do not measure time the same because time is different right now. It's a different time. It's a time of acceleration, and that means some different things for us. One thing is, you know, when there's greater grace, I believe there's a greater accountability. Because, and it's not in the heavy sense, Kent and I have talked about this a lot, accountability is like the scary word, you know? I'm going to help redefine that for us. You know, when God is releasing a word to us, it's not to be a yoke upon us, it's to be a power that's upon us. right? So when God's revealing something, saying, hey, church, this season is different. Like, I have more for you. The passion in which you walk up this season is going to affect things in the future. What God is saying, I'm releasing it to you, upon you, a grace to do more than you've ever done before. Are you guys hearing me? It's not a heavy yoke. It's a word of empowerment. I mean, this is the beauty about the word of God. The word of God itself carries the grace to achieve the very thing that it's proclaiming. Come on. So this is like, this is why I love the word of God. I love what, when we get in that place where we're hearing the voice of God, we hear what he's saying to us, it actually is carrying the very power to accomplish the word itself. We can all go home, I think. That's good. So hearing God is important. This is one of the reasons why I love prophetic ministry is really important, guys. You know, the church, as a church in general, it's like, especially I think this is probably a Western thing, probably more than other cultures, is that have you noticed that some gifts tend to be messier than others? You know, like, I'm just being real. You know, like, we've been talking a lot about even evangelist, you know, I love you, Peggy. I don't know if you guys have like watched Peggy minister. She's like, it's not like a clear Bible teaching. It's more like a tornado, you know. It's like God is doing this, you know, and your everyone's like, whoa, you know, like, and like prophetic words are getting released, and people are getting healed, and the kingdom's breaking in, and you know. And then she's like, who wants Jesus? Everyone's like, me. You know, but that's like, it's kind of messy. Would you say it's kind of messy? You know? No, it's not messy. No, it is. You know, and so sometimes, and actually we have a lot of conversations, you know, like, and it looks like the thing of like, oh, I don't know, it just is like what I do is kind of messy. And I'm like, just mess away, girl. Just mess away, because we need to be in that place, right? Of encouraging how God's working through people, like whether it's a prophetic gift or whether it's an evangelist. And I'm just highlighting these two because especially in the realm of, I think these are two gifts that it's hard for our culture because they don't fit in our paradigms. They like mess us up. Have you been messed up by a prophetic word before? Man, thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for those messy words. And I just want to bless our evangelists out there. I just actually want to pray for them. Lord, I just bless our evangelists, Lord. Thank you so much, God, for the evangelists that are in our church, Lord, and we pray that you'd grow more of them. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray that, yeah, come on, I pray that our evangelists, God, would plant seeds to grow up other evangelists in Jesus' name, God, because we need their gifting. We need their gifting, God. We need their gifting to contact the world, to bring the world to Jesus, Lord. So we ask you for more of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. How we doing? Okay. So, last time I was talking about, in this kind of context, and actually this word is in conjunction with this other thing we've been teaching on, is fulfilled dreams. This is another equipping point. You know, I've been learning in my life that I've been learning to really what it is to be a steward, to not let, like, when a word comes that's, you know, that we believe is from God, is that we just don't, like, hear the word and, like, take off. We take that word and we try to grow it up, right? You know, like, we were actually sharing about more, like, that we'd have a lot more in the church instead of just asking for more if we actually just took care of what we had, right? If we took care of just what we had, that we'd end up with a lot more. And so it's good. I like the more prayer. That's one of my favorite prayers. But I'm learning this thing of stewardship is so powerful in how we get into the more is by taking care of what God's already given us. And so I just feel like this is another equipping aspect of actually helping God, getting us into the more. So we were talking about Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, and I want to turn back there. Ooh. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time, kairos, we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then while we have opportunity, same word, kairos, let us do good to all people, and especially to those that are the household of faith. So we were talking about this too, that We have some different Greek words. There's more than actually two. We usually highlight two, chronos, which is kind of a sequence of time, and kairos, which is a divine intersection. So this is kind of what we're talking about, is that there's seasons that are divine intersections, and also there's moments that are divine intersections. So I think this verse actually encapsulates both of these things, that there's a due time, talking about a future time, or it could be a now, it could be it's a season time, where God is going to do something. That there's some sort of reward that's coming from, and I actually felt when I was reading through this, I just want to tell you that I just felt like God wanted to encourage us, guys, the seeds that you're sowing are leading to an increase. You know, God says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. When we sow good seed, it returns good harvest, right? You know, and so part of the whole thing of keep going is knowing that when you sow a seed, when you're sowing good seed, we keep going because we know that God eventually is going to bring that thing into fulfillment. And I just felt like this morning that God wants to encourage us that you guys are laying down good seed. There's good seed being laid down. So again, going back to this, that there's a due time and there's an opportunity time. And so I just want to talk a little bit about our specific times of opportunity. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we talk about walking in the Spirit. You know, there's all these different aspects of what a life of walking in the Spirit looks like, but one of the things I'm learning is actually to be a person who is just present with what God's doing, you know? And a lot of times it has to do with just checking in with God, you know? Like, we can get in a place, Mike shared about this, where we're like, you know, should I go to McDonald's or Burger King today? Please don't go to either of those, actually, but, you know, Chipotle or Blaze Pizza, you know, or whatever it is. You know, we can get in that place where you know, that sort of thing can actually become a legalistic thing and a bondage thing. But there's a thing that I've learned, though, is that I just check in with God and saying, it's not actually, should I do this or do that? It's more like, God, is there anything that you're doing right now that I need to know about? Right? You know, so I'm hanging out with people, you know, and I'm like, God, is there anything that you're doing right now that I need to know about? You know, and this has happened, man, this last week was crazy. I mean, I used to... you know, when I was helping doing high school ministry, we'd have this thing happen often where we'd be feeling the pressure of preparing a message, you know, and then like someone that we were ministering to would come in and want to be helped. And it was terrible. I'm sitting there and I was like angry. I'm like, I'm trying to write a message on loving people and you're here now. You're like really messing this up. Like, I mean, this was real. This is what's going on. And it was like the beginning of the journey of saying, God's saying, hey, what I put in front of you right now is the most important thing, right? Like, the people that I've sent to you are the most important thing. Like, being present is the most important thing right now. So I feel like one of the things, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but our culture is becoming increasingly distracted. Man, and this is something I'm, like, fighting through. We're spending some time in prayer. And this is actually most of the time that I get things that are good. I'm either worshiping or praying. And I was spending some time in prayer, and God spoke to me three things that our generation is really struggling with. And I'll talk about the other two at some other time. But the first word he highlighted was the word fragmented, you know. And it was interesting. Like, I usually think about distracted, but I like the fragmented word because it made me think of that we as a people are trying to live in 20 different places at the same time. You guys know what I'm talking about? We're trying to live in 20 places at the same time, and it's hard to be a presence people if we're not a present people, right? It's hard to be a we want to be people of the presence, but we can't be a presence people unless we begin to be a present people. So this is a good word, guys. This is a good word. So you can clap here. I'll stop for a second. Happy.
Good, Ryan. Good.
If we just get hold of this one thing, so I've been like going into, oh my goodness, I had do you know Josh, Josh Larson this morning, we're like, do you want coffee? And he's like, no, I only have coffee once in a while because I want to be a treat. And really what he's saying was, so we looked at him, we're like, so you're saying that you don't want to be addicted to coffee like us? And he's like, I was saying it in the nice way, you know, like, I'm like, I feel convicted, Jesus, but I love my coffee. But, you know, I've realized that with media increasingly, this is a challenge. It's a challenge. It's not, this isn't like a law thing, like you can't use your phone, but when you're too busy tweeting the good quote instead of receiving the good quote, you're missing something. Right? And so, and I like tweeters. And I like Facebook posts. It was so funny because last night, Brent put a post on the Facebook page for me that was quoting me. And so I this morning I was hanging out with Brent. I'm like, that's a great quote. And he's like, did I get it right? And I'm like, I don't know. It was like a spontaneous thing, so maybe. And I'm like, when did you put it up? And he's like, well, I was actually about to put the quote right up there, but then you just said what you just said. You know, you said that I shouldn't be Facebooking or tweeting the quote when I'm supposed to be receiving it, so I waited until I got home. And so then he also said that's probably why the quote's wrong as well. I'm like, well, I'd rather be wrong and you're listening than get it right and not be listening. But this is like, it's a discipline. I'm having to practice to disconnect. Actually, Kent Larson, and he might share this in some other time, because Kent Larson is an amazing pastor, an amazing man of God. I keep doing that. He shakes his head. He's an introvert. He doesn't always like all the attention on him. You couldn't tell because he's like, he gets these like really loud moments where he blows everything up. I love when he does that. Don't you guys love when he does that? He gets his word, he starts singing the song, and he's got the rock, you know, it's like the Lou Engle thing going on, and I love that thing. It's so much freedom when we just get to be ourselves. Like, this is just me. You know, I hope you like me, but if not, that's okay. But there's so much freedom when we get to be ourselves. And actually, this is a side note. When we build a culture, when we receive one another, it's a beautiful culture. Amen. We get more Jesus when we just receive. You know, I'm never going to be Pastor Mike. Never. I don't have enough hair to start off with, but I keep praying. I mean, I see it over there in Eddie. You know, Eddie's got wonderful hair, and Mike's got wonderful hair. I'm like, maybe they just need to lay hands on me. Maybe I didn't get the impartation yet. We'll do that after the service. Maybe we'll see if they're available. Where the heck am I? Being present, people. Sometimes I'm having so much fun, I just forget what I'm doing. Okay, we're teaching. We're in the Bible. So present, I'm being present right now. So being not distracted and being present, it's like you have to practice that, right? It's a practice that we do, and we get better. I'm not like, this is not a condemning word. I'm convicted by this, like, constantly, because this is something that Jesus is working with me, because I want to be more present to love the people that are around me. Amen. Like, and I feel like I can't do that. If you're not centered and present yourself, you're not going to be able to be present with other people. And so I feel like these, you know, like, I've been thinking a lot about the contemplatives, actually, this last week. And I'm like, I think that this whole thing of learning to be still is something the church needs to get hold of again. Are you guys hearing me? You know, like, this discipline of learning just to be a still people. I mean, we have so much stuff. I'm like, we got social media up the kazoo. I don't know if I can say that up here, but we have social media all over the place, and I said it already, you know, there's just information and noise coming at us all the time, but it's so powerful to learn to stop and to be still. You're just being still. It's okay. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. We had this thing, some people over at my house, and, you know, we spent 5 minutes being still. Actually, this is the verse that God spoke to two of us separately at the same time, and we're like, man, I think God is saying, be still and know that I'm God. So we just stopped, and we spent, you know, and I was thinking that 5 minutes was going to feel like an eternity, but 5 minutes felt like it was 5 seconds. Because what was happening is we just stilled ourselves before God. We started to connect with him. God started to speak to 80% of the people in the room. And it was so amazing, and I think that often in our culture there's a fear about being quiet, because, you know, actually part of it is I think we're afraid we confront actually what's going on the inside, right? And so I want to tell you guys that we don't have to be afraid, though, because God is good and he's on our side. You don't have to be afraid. You know, it's like, so, and here's, I think this is a principle in Scripture. You know, you guys remember the parable of the talents? You know, the guy that hid his stuff, you know, and he hid his gifting, and because he hid his gifting, God, you know, wasn't happy. He wasn't happy with what he was doing, but also he wasn't able to experience the increase. I believe whatever we hide puts us in a place that we cut off increase. You know, so it's not just like spiritual gifts, but when we hide the things going on in our lives, we actually cut ourselves off from the growth that God wants to bring to our lives. Right? So and again, going back to that thing of like, I feel like there's a heightened sensitivity. I I'm watching this in the season. I've seen more breakthrough for people in the last 2 months than I've seen in years. I mean, can anyone else test? Just actually put your hand up if you've felt like that's been true for you. Put it high. I want to see you guys. Okay. So there. This is, guys, I just want to say this is your testimony right here, right? So part of what's happening, it's like, you know, that there's moments where the presence of God is illuminating things, and there's like a clarity. You know, guys, remember when, looking back to Elisha on Mount Carmel, when the fire of God came down from heaven? That must have been a great church service. Wow. You know, the fire comes down from heaven, and he says, choose this day whom you're going to serve. And so and actually Malachi prophesies about, you know, in that day you will be able to discern between the righteous and the unrighteous. There's times where the presence of God is coming in such a way that he makes it really clear what we're doing and what we're not doing for God. And I feel like we're in that season right now where I'm watching, on one side, I'm watching people wrestle with God more than ever, and I'm watching other people get breakthrough with God more than ever because they're saying yes to what the Holy Spirit is doing in their lives right now. Guys, there's an opportunity for incredible advancement and increase if we say yes to what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives right now. Amen? Like, and not just like the hey, when we're coming here on Sunday, but like moment by moment through our lives, like that walk in the Spirit, you know, of every moment walking with the Holy Spirit and saying yes to him. As you guys do that, you guys are setting yourselves up for an incredible promotion. It's a promotion season. It's an increase season. You know, I just want to, you know, as I was hanging out this last week, kind of going back to being present, I was working in the warehouse, and I had one of my friends come up, and I could tell they were, you know, I had a lot going on, though. There's a lot going on in the warehouse. The warehouse is like, it's like the wild kingdom. It's like the zoo came to the Mercy Warehouse. The people that help out in the Mercy Warehouse can testify. It is like the most beautiful, craziest place I've ever been in my life. So I'm like in the Mercy Warehouse, and I'm like, you know, I'm like loving people while I'm like lifting heavy furniture, you know, like there's just all this different activity going on, and there's like, man, there's like people with demons, and like it's just crazy, and they get set free. Hallelujah! Come on, this is awesome. They get healed. You know, I am still blown away by that lady who had neck pain for 20 years who got healed when we prayed for her. That was, oh my goodness. See, when you get healed from something that you've had for 20 years, that is so incredible. That's so amazing. Okay, I'm talking about, oh yeah, so I'm in the Mercy Warehouse, and I had one of my friends come up to me, and I could tell, like, they're like, you know, they're just their hearts were heavy, and I was like, I'm like thinking I'm really busy, you know, I got all this stuff going on, and I've been meditating on this thing about being present and being attentive, being led by the Spirit, and I'm like, God, I'm like, is there something you want to do right now? And he's like, yeah, I want to hang out with this guy, you know, and so I'm like, okay, I'm going to put away all the stuff I have to do, and I'm like, I'm just going to hang out with him, and so we ended up spending 3 hours talking and praying together, and it was one of the most incredible 3 hours I've had in a really long time, and not only did he gets super encouraged, but I got super encouraged by what God was speaking, both not only to him, but what God was speaking to me. And I had that happen like 5 times this week. And actually, a big part of it is because it's this word about that God is moving us into a place where we're learning to be a transparent people. And so that's my next word, is that God wants us to make us, God wants to create greater community through greater transparency. Is anyone afraid? Help me, Jesus. You know, but I had 5 different conversations with men where they opened up their hearts and saying, hey, you know, this is not usually stuff I share, but I'm dealing with this stuff. And man, it has been so powerful, guys. So this whole thing of that setting ourselves up for promotion is linked to this thing of actually learning just to be transparent people. You know, and I know I've talked about this several times, but this is a part of what God is speaking into our church right now. The more we become a people that are willing to share our lives, the greater community that we're going to experience. You know, it's hard to get to know somebody if they're, you know, a fortified fortress, you know? Yeah. Right? You've been there, you're like trying to connect with some. Sometimes it's our spouse, you know? We're like, you know, there's just all these walls up and stuff. And, you know, as we learn to be a transparent people, we actually move ourselves into a greater community. And I just want to say that you guys have been doing this awesome. Like, there's so many, I've seen so much breakthrough over this one particular area because, and especially, I want to congratulate the men. You know, I'm thankful that the women aren't confessing this stuff to me, but I want to congratulate the men for stepping into being transparent. Amen. Wasn't planning on getting overwhelmed. Sometimes, you know, I was sharing last night. I'm like, there's some things I'm feeling so heavy for the church, and it's just sometimes it's hard to communicate it. And they're things that, like in the culture, they're just hard to talk about, you know. And my prayers, I'm like, God, I'm so convinced this is linked to what God is doing. I just don't want us to miss it. You know, and I'd rather us receive one word than hear 10,000 great messages. Like, I really believe if just as a church we get a hold of this one thing, if we can be a better present people and if we can become more of a transparent people, we're going to have an amazing church. We already have an amazing church, but God has more for us. And I don't know how to communicate this, you know, any more than I have before. But really, I just really feel that a lot of us have been, you know, life is filled with different pains. But Jesus is in the midst of our pain, like he's the man that he actually catches our tears and he puts them in the bottle. Here you go, I've got a couple more for you, Jesus. You know, and so we get in that place, and Mike last week, he was talking about, you know, weakness, and Eddie was talking about weakness, but it's in our weakness, in that place of actually sharing what's going on, it's in the fragileness of life that we experience the power of God, and I just feel like God's saying, stop being afraid. Stop being afraid of weakness, stop being afraid of being transparent, because God is there in that place. Because God is there in that place. He perfects his power in the midst of our weakness, amen. I'm going to land here. Part of the reason I'm going to land here is because I don't think I can preach anything else. But I want to pray for us. So let's have the worship team come on forward, and I want to pray for us. I think I've laughed a lot in messages. I don't think I've laughed and cried in a message before. It's a new weekend. Anyone else wants to come and cry with me at the front?
Come on, guys. Come on.
Let's just, you know, to celebrate Palm Sunday, if you just want to worship and spend some extended time in Jesus, and I just say, come get real with God, you know, with whatever's going on in your heart. And if you feel led to share with someone, great. If you don't, that's okay, too. But, Just come on forward. We're going to spend an extended time in worship and, you know, just talk to Jesus, whether it be about a word about, you know, God needing to talk to you about a season of something going on in your life or whether you just need to get real with something that's going on. I just feel as we come forward and we just worship, God's going to release something for us. Lord, I just love that you never do anything the same. God, you're always doing something new. You're alive. You're living on the earth. God, we just thank you for this opportunity, God, to connect with you and to celebrate you. And Lord, I just thank you for the grace that's here for us just to connect with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that's here, God, just to get real with you. Lord, I thank you that we are no longer slaves to fear, but we're the children of God. Thank you, Lord, that you have unyoked us from the yoke of slavery, God, and that you've united us in a new yoke with your Son, God, an easy yoke and a light burden, God, where we get to walk with Jesus. So, Lord, I just thank you, God, this morning that you want to set us free, Lord. There's like a deliverance sort of thing, and I'm not just talking about, you know, demons coming out of people's bodies. I'm just talking about freedom. There's a deliverance, a freedom grace here this morning. So I just pray, Lord, that you just come and release freedom, God, right now in Jesus' name. Yes, God, release freedom in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, we just pray for freedom, God. Freedom from past things, God, past hurts, past disappointments, God. We pray for freedom in the name of Jesus. Some of the space feels a little awkward, but I'm just want to tell you, God's moving in this.